And all God's people say,
Amen.
Before I start, just a quick announcement. Just turn to someone next to you and say, next Sunday. Please, I want to ask you guys, next Sunday, can we have an announcement for the creation, guys? I really want you guys to come tomorrow morning. We won't be here, you'll be part of a school. But please come next Sunday morning, guys. It's Creation Ministries International, guys, are coming in late. The creation stuff is so awesome, it's so needed. And I want you not to come with yourself. Don't come on your own. Bring a friend next Sunday morning. Okay? Then it's not going to be the same sermon in the evening. And Pastor Henny Swart from Johannesburg, he's an amazing teacher, and he's going to be preaching in the evening. But come in the morning and bring people who are skeptical about. Can we have that slide with you, please? By creation of the cross. Okay, because, you know, we can't understand the cross, we've got to understand why we need the cross. And these guys are so good at breaking open the words. So if there are people in your class that are skeptical, or that are very intellectual, that are like, bring them, guys. That they can maybe get saved. And bring them next Sunday evening as well. He's going to also be talking about, you know, a lot of apologetic stuff and intellectual stuff. So let's get to the people. We live on a very intellectual campus. I mean, people are in their minds. So let's get to their minds. Let's use them next Sunday for their minds. Okay, so that's no announcements yet. Okay, cool. And then Sunday afternoon. Everyone who's called to full-time ministry maybe one day, or you're a teacher, you'll be called to teach the Word of God, to preach the Word of God. Whoever's interested in having a 2.5-hour talk with Henny, Henny's going to give us some lekker tips on how to prepare sermons, how to read the Word of God, how to like unpack a passage of Scripture, and maybe present a teaching or sermon out of it. If you're keen, 12 o'clock at our house. Can we just write those slides, please, so that people can remember them? 12 o'clock at 43 PM Crescent. Please, come, you must register. We wanted you just pay $20 and we're going to organize lunch for you. And we're going to have, if there's masses of people that have to move to the hallway or something, but please come and sit under the awesome teaching of Pastor Henny Swart. He's really an amazing teacher. So next Sunday, okay, so there's lots of things happening. Sunday morning church, Sunday afternoon for about 2 from 12 o'clock, and then Sunday evening, let's invite more friends to church. I mean, are you excited for that? Cool stuff. Okay, so please, remember that it's not only morning service for the older people, it's for everyone. Awesome stuff. Who's here for a 10-point plan of how to find the right partner? Did you guys look up for that? Sorry for this point, you say. So we're in the middle of relationships. Okay, we're really excited about relationships. I mean, who's excited about relationships? Yeah, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to be a team. But I want you guys to turn into groups of 2 or 3. And I want you to discuss, just very briefly, what has been up to now in your life the worst experience in a relationship? What has been the best experience in a relationship? Okay, so who is married here? A couple of married couples. Just Kent and Melissa. So please just get someone else in your group, because I'm sure you'll tell each other, oh, this is the best relationship. And then you forget about all the worst relationships. But I want you to discuss, what is the best relationship ever? You know, what is the most amazing relationship you've been in, or that's in your life, and what has been the worst experience in terms of a relationship? Quickly, 2 or 3 minutes, just discuss that with someone, groups of 2 or 3. I'm sure we all agree that relationships are very interesting. There's nothing better in life than a relationship that works, isn't it? So, I'm not talking only about marriage. There's nothing better than a relationship that works, where there's understanding, there's love, there's just the flow, isn't that so? Married couples all testify, there's not many yet tonight. And even those in a relationship, whether you're engaged or just in a relationship, you'll know that there's nothing better than a relationship that works, even between friends. Isn't that amazing? When there's just It's blessed. And I'm sure all of you can testify of experiences that, oh, it's amazing. This is one of the best experiences I've had. I really think we created for that. We created for relationship. And it's awesome when it works. But I think on the other hand, just as blessed as a great relationship is, and just as amazing and as uplifting and encouraging as a good relationship is, it's exactly the opposite when a relationship goes south. Isn't that so? When things go wrong between friends or between a couple, there's nothing worse in the world than a relationship that is going bad. Isn't that so? And I'm sure you could have testified of some of your worst experiences in relationships. There's almost nothing more painful. I think Philip said it last week, you know, divorce is, you know, almost worse than death. A breakup like that is terrible. But not only divorce, just I think when friendships go bad and there's offense and there's stuff that's come in between this relationship and it starts to go bad. It's nothing worse than that. Wouldn't you agree? And so tonight I'm going to talk about a key to all godly relationships, because I'm so excited that if all of us can get this, then I believe our relationships will be blessed. This is not the only key, it's just a key that God has shown me. Because I think all of us that are sitting with some kind of pain, and maybe we've got over it already, but all of us have relational pain somewhere. All of us have been hurt. No one can say they've never had a problem in life, whether they're good with relationships or not, and you can be a very good relational person, you can be an incredible people's person, you can be good with relationships, or you can be bad with relationships, it doesn't matter. Every single one of us have somewhere along the line been hurt in relationships. Because it's the devil's number one target. If you can target relationships, if you can target communities and break them up, you know what? He's got us. So tonight I want to go to the author of relationships, because we need to go to him for answers, okay? You're all wondering, what is this? I want this key. Who's excited to receive this key tonight? I'm not going to tell you now. Wait and see. You see, God created man for a relationship, amen? God is a relational God. He's in relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's a Trinity. It's incredible. And at the beginning of Genesis, he blessed Adam and Eve. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He told them, this is what you've been created for. Go and fill the earth. You know? Just get married first, okay? For the rest of us. We've done our bit. We've got 3 kids. You've got to have 3 to multiply, okay? You can't just have 2. I thought 2 was multiplication, but you actually have to replace yourself and increase. That's so 3. I never thought that, my wife told me that. She said, no, baby, you can't just, like, because we 2. So I've got 2 kids. 1 kid is amazing, you know? She said, no, 2 kids is just replacing. You're just maintaining. You've got to increase. Then I said, let's go for 4. She said, no. So God blessed man, and he created man for a relationship. And anyone know what the first time the word command is mentioned in the Bible? It's not love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's not the first time the word command is mentioned in the Bible. The first command is here in Genesis chapter 2, and I want to read this. And the Lord God took the man, and he put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The first time the word command is mentioned, obviously, you know, I guess you could say that Genesis chapter 1 was a command, go forth and multiply, but I believe it was more like a choice, you know, you can. This is what you can do. But the first command where God said, there's certain boundaries I'm putting in place here. With this relationship that we're in here, you know, me as God and you as people, there's a certain boundary I'm putting in, and there's consequences if you cross this boundary. Amen. Do you see that? If you eat of this tree, you can eat of every single tree, but just don't eat of this one tree, because you're going to surely die. And so when it comes to God and us, and relationship with God and us, there was something that was lost at the beginning, something special that was lost, and we know what happened. We know the rest of the story. Sin entered and they disobeyed, and this consequence came into being. Death came in. with death, suffering, and pain, and all the stuff. Worst of all, they died spiritually. Mankind died spiritually. And you know what it did? It affected every single relationship. It affected the relationship with God, and it affected every single other relationship. So something special was lost right at the beginning. And I believe this, if we can get this and realize that this is what Jesus Christ had to do on the cross, again, to restore this thing, then you know what? I believe relationships will work. Any relationship. And we know nothing's perfect until Jesus comes again, but you know, Jesus wants to give us a life. So tonight I want to look at that key. Now I'm sure you're keen to know what this key is. Jesus Christ had to restore this thing. At the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. At the end of chapter 6, it gives this incredible picture of where God wants to come back and He wants to be our God again and us as His people. And Paul writes a lot of things. He talks about all these promises that of God, but then he said there needs to be the separation, there needs to be a coming out of the world, there needs to be a being set apart, not being equally yoked with unbelievers. It talks about that, it talks about godly relationships. Anyone heard that before? Not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. So I'm just talking to you young people here that are possibly going into romantic relationships as well. Don't be equally yoked with an unbeliever. Be equally yoked spiritually. Talks about starting with our relationship with God, being set apart for God's purposes. So he gives all these promises, and then he goes in here and he says, therefore, in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, the scripture that I've put up there, therefore, because of all these promises that he's just talked about, he says, therefore, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, I believe this is the thing that was lost by Adam and Eve at the beginning. And this is the thing that's many times the cause of such relational strain. It's called the fear of God. It was lost at the beginning, and Jesus Christ, the perfect man, came to restore this in our lives. He came to restore it in our romantic relationships, in our marriages, in every single relationship that we're involved in. He's come to restore this. I want to say that He's come to restore it in our church as well. He's come to restore relationships, but He's come to say there's one thing, one key that you also need, and that is the fear of God. One definition of the fear of God is the following: to fear God is to desire to live in harmony with His righteous standards and to honor Him in all that you do. To fear God, I'm going to read it again, is to desire to live in harmony with His righteous standards and to honor Him all that you do. I guess there's a lot of definitions of the fear of God. So what is the fear of God? Let's just look at what the Bible says. What is the fear of God? Because I believe if we're not going to perfect holiness, we're not going to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit if we do not walk in the fear of God. So I'm so excited because I believe this is a key to all godly marriages. It's a key to godly relationships between parents and children, between friends, between, you know, girlfriend and boyfriend. Because then we're going to walk in the fullness of God, I believe, if we follow this. Because I know that, and I trust that all of us have a desire to please God. Amen. And so tonight is just a tool as to how to please God, specifically in relationships. Psalm 34 says an amazing definition. It basically gives, it says, come you children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life, loves many days that he may see good? Anyone have that desire? I want to live to 120. Who wants to live long? Who wants to have a life? Who wants to see good? It's amazing promises, but you know, it doesn't come easy. It comes with a promise. And so then the writer of Psalms says the following, says, then you need to do this, you need to keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. You need to depart from evil and do good, you need to seek peace and pursue it. We'll come back to that now. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, Proverbs 8:13, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. It talks about wisdom. I'm going to come back to this now. Just want to tell you a story about the year that before I met Esther. I'm talking a little bit about romantic relationships because I know it's at that time of the year. You know, there's a lot of couples getting together. It's awesome. It's like acceleration. I thought it was happening in the spring, but it's happening in August. You know, July already. You know, crazy. God accelerates the seasons. But so I remember when the year that I was really looking for a wife. In 2006, I was like seriously pursuing a wife because I'm like now 28 and I was 29 and kept going. So I'm like, you know, it's time. I can't wait till I'm over 30, you know. And you know, it just ended my show for, but the harvest was plentiful, you know. Not only our souls, but beautiful woman. But funny enough, I didn't see how I pursued a couple of girls, and I think used to take girls on the back of my motorbike for rides, and it was awesome. A couple of us were really like the wonderful dudes, they were taking these chicks on the bike, you know, like, it was amazing. I had good friends, you know, good friends. I got to hold on tight in your arm. It's like, but somewhere along the line, I didn't seem to find the girl in the Stellenbosch social congregation. I actually met a girl called Elizabeth in another church. And so we started this relationship. And, you know, I was just looking kind of for, I don't know what I was looking for in a woman, because I was a bit confused actually. And this girl and I started to go out. And after a while, I was thinking that this is something, this is just not like all the beast of my mind. I just kind of got myself into this thing, and it's difficult to get out. And so, like, we had a distance relationship because I worked in Port Elizabeth for a couple of weeks and then I would go back to Stellenbosch. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to have to break this thing off. I'm only going to see her like in a month's time or something. So I just feel, and she starts to contact me and I'm like not responding and it wasn't good. And I'm sure like her heart's on, this, on the line, you know. I have to tell her, look, I'm not keen to go out of this relationship. And it's really like in a bad place. It was terrible. And eventually, like, you know, to break off a relationship over the phone is not good. But I had to tell her the honest truth. I just told her, look, I'm only going to see you in a while, so I just want to just make sure we understand that I'm just not feeling the same anymore. And it was so bad for her. And yeah, she was really heartbroken, and I just had to repent afterwards. I just said, God, it's not her fault. I remember she was so angry, and we took the phone down, and like, it was a Sunday afternoon because I'm down in church and like, I just want to, you know, I don't want this unpeace in my life. But I felt I really had to repent. I remember just standing there and just saying, God, I'm so sorry. I've hurt one of your daughters. I'm like, I just felt the fear of the Lord coming upon me because I've just got myself into this thing. It's not her fault. I got myself into it and now I'm going to have to like, take the exit. And it's not me. And I really experienced the fear of God because I just realized that I'm walking in my selfish ways and I'm walking in just what I want and I've just broken someone's heart. And I met my wife a couple of months later. Amazing story. We met after that and I just realized in this relationship I'm going to handle it with the fear of the Lord. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to guard her heart. I'm going to just make sure that I handle this with wisdom and with God's guidance. Praise the Lord, from meeting her to getting married was 11 months. It happened quite quickly. And so we got married when I was 30. Praise the Lord. But in that year, it was hectic because I was wondering who is the right person. And in the end, I was with the wrong person. And unfortunately, we really kept it pure and we kept it clean. But you know, my motives were so wrong. I just realized my motives were so wrong. And so why I'm telling you the story is because if we don't walk in the fear of God, if we need it for ourselves, if we cry for it, lust for it, just wanting the relationship for it, we can get out of it, then we get ourselves into the wrong relationships and we hurt other people. Amen. And so there are three aspects to relationships which Psalm 34 talks about. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask God to come and purify these parts of your life so that you can walk in the fear of God. Or I believe also that you need the fear of God to do this. It's like a cycle. You need to do this to experience the fear of God, but you need the fear of God to walk in these ways. First of all, it says that it talks about your tongue and your lips. It says you mustn't walk in the speaking of lies or telling of, you know, we must walk in speaking the truth. Our tongue must produce good and not evil. We shouldn't speak lies or deceive people, flatter people, or make empty promises. It's all about our tongue, consecrating our tongue to the Lord. And so in relationship, there's three aspects. We can hurt people. You know, there's that saying that goes, sticks and stones, you know, can break my bones, but words can never hurt me, and it's such a lie. Because words hurt, amen. All of us have been hurt either by words, we've been hurt by actions, we've been hurt by motives. One of those three things has hurt us in a relationship. And so the tongue and the lips talks about our words, and it talks about what are we saying. James 3 talks about it. It says that your tongue will, it's a small member, but it directs your body, it directs your whole being. And so I believe in relationships, we need to say, God, come and purify our words, come and bring us to this place where our words will speak life, amen, and not death. And I'm talking about relationships here. Talking about close relationships, because the closest people often hurt us the most. And you know, when we do marriage prep, we tell the people, this is it, and I've heard it in a lot of sermons at a wedding, where people, the pastor has told me this couple, listen here, you have the power to destroy this person with your words. You have the power to break their spirit. So we need to say, God, we need the fear of God in our lives. We need you to come and purify our tongue and our lips. That we don't deceive, that we don't try. You know, often, you know what this reminds me of is when we say something wrong, then guess what we do? You know, our tongue is so quick to respond. So we say something wrong, so then what do? Then this other one comes in. Just go one back to the Psalm 34. It says, your lips from speaking deceit. You know what often we do when our tongue goes wrong? Then we try to correct it by even deceiving more. We try to cover ourselves up. And, you know, have you ever found yourself in a hole where you said something wrong and then you're like, you know, you're trying to make it right and it just makes it worse? So don't stop. Don't stop. Don't get yourself into a deep hole because it's difficult to get out. You just need to repent. And not try to speak deceit, because that's when you start talking lies. What did I just really say? That I meant this. That, no, when it's out there, it's out there. So the fear of God needs to come in to purify our words. And then secondly, it says, depart from evil and do good. It talks about your actions. You know, there's no gray areas here. You either are doing good or you're doing evil, amen. And if you're doing nothing, you know what? You're not doing good. You heard of that saying, you know, evil prevails when good people do nothing. So in a relationship, let's do good, because if we're passive in a relationship, if we're not doing good and blessing the other person, then what are we doing? We're in it for ourselves. So let's purify our actions. Let's ask God to come in and purify our actions and depart from evil. And there's a key to departing from evil. It's called doing good. You know, we try so hard not to do evil. You know, the best way not to do evil is just by doing good. Romans 12 says, conquer evil by good works. Overcome evil with good. So in your relationships in your life, think about it now. Make it practical. Think about where can you start to speak words of life over your partner, or your girlfriend or boyfriend, over your friend, the person that you're closest with at the moment. Or speak life over church. Speak life over the relationships in this church. Speak life over this church. Start to do good. Start to bless other people. Let's have our actions glorify God. And then lastly, this is an important one. This is the one where we don't see it. We don't even see this because this is the motives of the heart. If your motive in a relationship is not to seek peace and pursue peace constantly, you know what? Then you're in it for yourself. You're often in it for the lustful stuff. Seek peace and pursue it. What are your motives in this relationship? But I'm talking here now also specifically about romantic relationships. If you're pursuing someone and it's not to bring God glory, not to bring peace, and to glorify His name and to pursue peace, then you know what you're doing? It in a way that lust is involved. It's for yourself. It's for the big eye. That's why Proverbs 8 says, I hate pride and arrogance. I hate the evil way. When lust is involved in any relationship, it cannot be godly and it can never glorify God. And I'm not talking about lust, just, you know, physical sexual lust. I'm talking about lust meaning, what can I get out of this relationship? And that answers that question, you know, are you in it for yourself or are you in it to bless this person? And that's where the big pride comes in, the big eye. And I I've seen it in my marriage, and I told the story this morning. I'll tell it to you guys again. It will shock you a little bit, but God is good. But when Esther and I first got married, so it was in our first year of marriage, and I'm really, you know, I thought, you know, I'm quite a godly guy, and I'm sure, you know, we'll have a blessed marriage. And our first year was tough. We didn't know each other that well, and so she, the one morning, she said, you know, she's going on this trip to Zanzibar because her work had organized this trip, and I'm like, no, you're not going. You know, I just don't want you to go. The more I said I don't want you to go, the more I like you. And she said, no. Well, the more she wanted to go, she said, no, I'm not going. And so we had this argument and everything, and so we're on this time, 7 o'clock in the morning, we need to get to work. And I get so upset with her, I take her by the neck, and I'm like, I literally almost, I was so cross with her, and I said, take her by the neck, and I'm like so angry, and she freaks out, and so she runs out the house and locks me outside, and I'm like, what did I do? I said, please come, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And then I get go outside, and then she locks me in again, and I don't know, I'm just like in and out, and like, now she just wants to speak to me, now we're like having this hectic fight. And suddenly, and I think I was definitely inside the house at the time, because I just remember just falling to the floor in our room, and I'm like, just repenting before God. I'm like, I've never experienced this godly sorrow before. I was like, broken. Couldn't believe I did this. So angry with it. I just realized I need to go and get prayer from someone, but she doesn't want to speak to you. She's getting away from me. She's ready to almost pack her bags. I guess I'm looking at it. It's probably the end now. And I go to my friend up the road, and he's like one of the leaders in church, and I just, I'm like a wreck. My eyes are red. I'm like, this guy opens the door and he like freaks out. I said, what happened? You know, and I just said, I just need prayer. I've just like almost strangled my wife. I'm so angry with her. I don't know what it is, but I just need prayer. This is quite serious. Let's pray. So I was a broken man. I realized the fear of God came upon me because I was so in this relationship with myself. There's so much of me and myself and I in this relationship with God and to deliver me. He did a lot of work in my life in that quick moment, and he continued to do it. But I realized that somewhere along the line, my words aren't glorifying God, my actions aren't glorifying God, and you know what? It's all because of my motives. There's still a pride in my heart, there's still a lust. There's still a, what can I get out of this? And praise the Lord for what he's done, because you know, I love my wife so much, I love her so much more now, because, and now I'm celebrating what she does. You know, I'm saying to you, no, I'm in this to bless you, and I want you to also be successful. I want you to reach God's dreams for your life. So I'll encourage you, I'll support, I'll brag about you. I used to brag about my wife a lot, and she used to start doing, no, I'm bragging about you too. You're amazing, you're awesome. You're a Proverbs 31 woman. Which I spoke to her when we got engaged, and said, this is who you are. But I wasn't the nice guy at this time. Both of us were sinners, you know, we sinners, we need Jesus to save us. But I realized the fear of God came into my life very seriously then. And he needed to purify a lot of stuff in my life. Fear of the Lord is amazing. We need the fear of the Lord in our relationships. We need the fear of the Lord to purify our hearts. Proverbs talks about the benefits of the fear of the Lord. Look at this. This is the stuff we need in relationships, guys. This is the stuff we need in all relationships. It talks about the beginning of knowledge. 1 verse 7, Proverbs 1 7 says that the beginning of knowledge starts with where the fear of the Lord. Amen. We need knowledge. Who wants knowledge? Who wants to find the knowledge and the wisdom of God? Proverbs 9 verse 10, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need so much wisdom in the world that we live in today. Isn't that so? Not only with relationships, just in general, but specifically in finding the right person for your life, you need wisdom. And just more than finding the right person, like Philip said, being the right person, you need the wisdom of God. Then it talks about prolonging your days. 10 verse 27. It talks about strong confidence in the Lord. I think we need that as a body of believers. We need that as believers to be strong, have strong confidence in the Lord. But it starts with where the fear of the Lord. A fountain of life. It talks about joy. It talks about the life that comes from God. It's not our own happiness and our own feelings. It's a fountain of life that comes from Jesus. Leads to life. Riches, honor, life. All these things. We need the fear of the Lord. There's so many benefits of it. And I believe specifically when it comes to all relationships, you cannot do without the fear of God. My dad has amazing they're saying goes, some are wise and some are otherwise. I don't want to be the otherwise people. I want to be the wise people. Wise person. And then, this amazing passage of scripture in Ephesians 5. This is what I want to get to this evening as well, because I think if we talk about relationships, it's not only a relationship between a guy and a girl. I think there's so much more to relationships. Relationships is all about this community that God is so excited about. God is excited about marriage, but you know, God says that marriage represents His relationship with His church. Amen. So God is excited about His church, and then in Ephesians 5, it gives a few keys. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I think we've looked at that, the wisdom. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Church walking in the fear of the Lord. And then listen to this, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the one that you can underline, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's why I talked about the key to all relationships, because it's the key to marriage, it's the key to parenting, it's the key to friendship, it's the key to community and covenant relationships in the church. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And I believe so many times in church circles we try to do relationships in the flesh. Okay? We live in personality types, or and we try to see who we get on with, and it's great, you know, you get on with some people better than others, but I believe God is so much greater. And many times, you know, there's like cliques forming. There's this group of people that get on it, so that we just click with that person, or this group of people, and we just go with that person. That is not what God wants. God wants us to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. That is honoring every single person that comes in. This is the type of community, guys, that I believe God wants to bless us with, and then He can bless so many more people with by sending them here and saying, this is a blessed community, this is a blessed church. Because why? They're walking in the fear of God. They're submitting to one another. You know what the problem is? If we don't do that, there's pride, there's lust, there's stuff. You know, what can I get out of this? You know, you go to your cell group, what can I get out of this relationship? Well, how can I grow in the cell group? You know, it's all about me, 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 me. What about what can I give in these relationships? What can I bring to the table? I want to say, if you're going to learn that now, you know, you're going to have a very blessed marriage. You're going to learn how to give and how to serve and how to lay down your own life. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And guess which passage follows after this? Anyone know Ephesians 5 from 22? Talks about marriage. Wives, love your husbands. Husbands. Sorry, wives, submit your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Christ loves the church. This is the community that God, and we can have a whole sermon on this, but I just want to say this evening that God wants us to be a church that walks in the fear of the Lord. Amen. But we need to submit to one another in the fear of God. We need to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Some of us need to just make melody in your heart, because if you sing it, it's going to chase people away. Okay? And when some people sing, they've got the evangelistic, the sending anointing, you know, then people leave, they scatter. We talked about it this weekend, you know. Singing there, yeah, you've got the sending anointing, then people just scatter. That's what the Bible says, make believe in your heart. I'm only joking. Let's sing songs. Let's encourage one another, whether you've got a voice or not. You know, let's speak life. All of us can encourage one another. All of us can speak to one another, bless each other, give thanks to God. But let's do it in the fear of the Lord. Let's not do it in the flesh. And it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is welcome when the flesh is not there. If the flesh is there, the Spirit cannot come in. And here we say we're spirit-filled believers, but there's so much flesh in us, there's so much of I, me, and myself. You know, the Spirit is grieved because he wants to let the flesh get out. And he wants us to repent and say, Lord, here I am, cleanse me, fill me with the Spirit. cleanse me of pride and of my own self-seeking, because in relationships it will kill it. If there's self in relationships, it's going to kill a relationship. Submit to one another in the fear of God. And this talks to me also about a purification. This talks to me about where, you know, if there's sexual lust, then God is going to cleanse that out. If there's, you know, lust of just the selfishness, financial, like money, love of money, you know, just how much can I get, material stuff, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those three. The fear of the Lord deals with that. If we walk in the fear of the Lord, you know what? There'll be an Acts church happening. Well, look at that now. Look at this amazing scripture. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace, and they were edified. And what? Walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, whatever. There was multiplication. There was growth. And you know, so many times we live in this hyper-grace era where it's all about grace and love and love and grace, and you know, just rub your back and it's all fine and it's all cool. But it's not all cool. Because you've got to walk in the fear of the Lord. I believe, you know, many of us grow up in the, where the fear of God is present in church, but it's so legalistic, it's the law. And that's also not right. We're supposed to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I so believe they go together. Believe we can't walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit fully if we don't walk in the fear of the Lord. And same thing, if we're not walking in the fear of God, we're not going to have the full comfort of the Spirit, because the Spirit is a holy Spirit. Holiness. Terrible. Selflessness. Where there's pride and all of that stuff, the Spirit is not working. I believe He's doing it. He's cleansing all of us. He's cleansing my heart and I want you to bear with God in this time. He's cleansing each one of us. He wants to cleanse all of you. So that we can be a church that walks in the fear of the Lord. There's only one who can teach us how to walk in the fear. Because He did it so perfectly. Last scripture, and then we'll pray together. Before I read the scripture, Oswald Chambers said the following thing, just a quote from Oswald Chambers. He said, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. But if you do not fear God, you fear everything else." You see, if we fear God, you know what? There's no place for the fear of man. There's no place for the fear of the world, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection. There's no place for that. But if we don't really fear God, then we're going to start to fear a lot of things. So I really believe God wants us to walk in this fear of God and understand it better. But it's all about relationship with Him. It's all about knowing who He is. Consecrating ourselves to a place of holiness, a place of purity. And then you know what? Relationships will be blessed. Why? Because there's boundaries. You know, even in a marriage, anything doesn't go physically, no. Intimacy, sex-wise, anything doesn't go, because both have to agree to it. So there's boundaries. And if we don't walk in the fear of the Lord, you know what? The Holy Spirit is very welcome. If we do walk in the fear of the Lord, if we realize that God said at the beginning, you can eat of all trees, but there's a certain tree that I'm not want you to eat of. So there's boundaries. And it filters through to every single relationship. There's boundaries. There's a healthy respect of certain positions. Amen. So your cell leaders, you know, you need to respect your cell leaders. You need to respect your zone leaders, your district leaders. There's a healthy just respect of the person isn't defined by their position. They're just in a functional position. And so there should be a healthy respect. There should be a healthy respect for every person. Whether they're the newest unsaved guy, we still respect where the person's at. We don't judge. But we submit to one another. We fear of the Lord. And I know Jesus needs to help us with this thing. Because look at what He did. It says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him. A prophecy from Isaiah. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. We heard that tonight, didn't we? The Spirit of counsel and mind. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And guess what? The next verse says, in fact, He delighted in the fear of the Lord. Now, I don't think many of us delight in the fear of God, because many times we're very casual with God. You know, we come in and come out of church, and we just worship, and we have this casual relationship with God, and there's a place for that. When we're young believers, there's a place where we get to know God, but I believe we need to have a healthy, godly fear, man, just in our relationship with God first. Did you know where it's reflected? Do you know where our relationship with God is reflected? Relationship with our people, the people around us. And I've seen it in my life with my wife, you know, if my relationship is straining with my wife, you know what? It's because my relationship with God is not where it should be. If my relationship with other people are not in a good place, it's because my relationship with God is not in a good place. And I'm casual about God, and yeah, God, you have to serve me, and you know, it's all about me again. So we need to repent of that pride. We need to say, God, give us the Spirit of Jesus Christ, because He walked in this. He walked in wisdom and understanding. He walked in counsel and mind. He walked in knowledge, and He walked in the fear of the Lord. In fact, He so delighted in the fear of the Lord. Then guess what He did? Because He delighted in the fear of the Lord, He did not judge by the sight of His eyes. He did not see, did not hear or decide by the hearing of His ears. Isn't that amazing? When we walk in the fear of the Lord, when we delight in the fear of the Lord, you know, we don't judge by circumstances, we don't judge by sight, we truly walk by faith, we walk by the Spirit. There's a godly order in our lives, and we can see what God is seeing, we can judge by what God is seeing, not by what people say, or what we hear, or our emotions, or our flesh. And Jesus was perfect, and I know it's difficult, this is a high standard. And He wants us to get there, He wants us to reach for that, and be the most godly people that we can be. It's a difficult task, but you know what? He's come to help us. The Spirit of God has come to help us to become godly people. The Spirit is not there just that we can have fun with Him and see miracles and all that. That's amazing. But He's come to make us godly. He's going to do awesome stuff through us. Do we totally surrender? When it's not about us. I want the band to come forward this evening. I know this is a challenging word, but you know what? I want to give you good news this evening. This is a free word. Thank you for the excitement. Anyone else? This is a free word. Because it's relationally going to set us free, you guys. When we say, Lord, it's not about us. It's not about how I feel. It's not about how I see or how I perceive stuff. It's about just walking and saying, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the fear of God. Even with my kids, you know, so many times I have to repent because I'm so angry with them and I'm frustrated and I just can see they just don't know what they're doing. So I have to repent, I have to say sorry for my actions because yes, they were wrong, but I was not right to act like that. Can I discipline in anger or be frustrated with them? Or with my wife, you know, many times we both have to say sorry, we both have to repent, and then we both have to forgive. So I believe this, the fear of the Lord allows us to become quick to repent and quick to forgive. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, we're immediately sensitive to where we've missed the mark. That's the Spirit. The Spirit brings the fear of God. Isn't that amazing? He's such a gentle Spirit. He's such an amazing Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit, but He's so gentle. He's not forceful. Just comes to reveal us this awesome knowingness that God is. This awe and wonder of God. This mystery. And then He reveals to us just where we can be quick to say sorry, quick to repent, and also quick to forgive if someone has done something wrong against us. But I want you to think tonight. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about your actions. Do you think about your words, your motives, those three aspects of relationships? And maybe you've said wrong things to people. Maybe your actions are just saying, you know what, I'm just not into this. And you've hurt someone just by simply either doing nothing or just doing the wrong thing. Or even more serious, deep inside your heart, there's motives that aren't 100% pure. Maybe you're pursuing a girl or a guy and it's all about you. It's not really about the kingdom of God where we seek peace, we become peacemakers. And we need to be peacemakers tonight. We need to go and look around. If there's relationships that are strained in your life, even in this church, if there's people that have hurt you, if you've hurt people, then I believe it's time to make right with God. Amen. To ask God to help us to make right with each other, that the but repent before God first. So just allow the Spirit to just come and show you where He wants to bring in the fear of God in your life. That your actions can be pure, your motives and your words can be pure and aligned with His purposes, or not. What about yourself and what I can do and I can get out of it? Really, God, we're going to glorify you in this relationship. You know, the Spirit is so faithful. He's just so there in everything we do. And we need to know, there's nothing we can do. No secret stuff can hide from. We cannot hide from the Spirit of God. He's everywhere. Sometimes we're so casual with the Holy Spirit that he just gently backs off. Why? Because we don't understand the fear of God. The fear of God really sets us free. It brings back those healthy boundaries with God. You've bridged the gap, but you're still God. So Lord, I want to pray for every relationship that's represented in this church tonight, in this building, God. This whole tonight, there's relationships, God, with family members, Lord, there's relationships with, Lord, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, or even a fiancé, Lord, a spouse, Lord, a good friend, Lord, a cell member, Lord, or just a fellow brother or sister just in this church. Do you want to come and bring us to this place of true repentance, God, where we can really, Lord, just say, God, I mean, we miss it. We, Lord, we want to walk in the fear of the Lord going forward, God. There's patterns in our lives many times. We do the same thing over and over. We make the same mistake over and over. Tonight, Lord, we realize that it's time to stop. It's time to invite the fear of God in by your Spirit. So I want you to be very honest. Just want you to raise your hand right now. If you desire the fear of the Lord back into your life personally, into your relationships, then ask Him. Just put up your hand. I want to pray for you that the fear of God comes back into your life. If you know you've missed it, Lord, just be very honest. If you may be just a bit casual with the Lord, just raise your hand. God is going to bless your relationships. I thank you for every hand that is raised right now, Lord. Every hand. That you see their desire, Lord, to please you and to walk in the fear of the Lord. To walk, not only just heaven, but to desire it, to delight in it. The light and the fear of the Lord, just like Jesus did. And then, Lord, whenever there's relationships, Lord, you will help each person, each one of us, to see by the Spirit, not to judge by the sight of our eyes, or to decide for the hearing of our ears, Lord. Not to be emotional, have this roller coaster ride and be quickly offended or quickly hurt or so always on the reactive, Lord, always on the back foot. And then we up and then we down. Lord, I thank you that by your Spirit and by the fear of the Lord, God, you bring wisdom, Lord. You bring a fountain of life. You bring joy. You bring healthy boundaries into every relationship represented here this evening, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're doing a work of purification right now. Just allow the Lord to just surface stuff. If this stuff's surfacing, then just allow Him to show you where He's healing you, where He's bringing freedom, bringing restoration. But you need to repent, you need to say sorry. Where you've missed it, you need to be honest, you need to forgive. If you've been hurt, you need to forgive. So I want us all to stand this evening. You need prayer this evening very specifically. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to just come back to Jesus because it doesn't help you trying to walk this path on your own. You need to come back to Jesus then. And I want to invite you to come forward tonight. We'd love to pray with you. If the Lord is speaking to you, you need to give your life to Jesus, or just come to recommit your life to Jesus, then come. We'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone out there this evening while everyone's eyes are closed? If you're a believer yet, and I'll just pray. Maybe there's just one person here tonight. You need to come back to Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you, and you need to say, Jesus, here's my life, because I cannot do this. This is so tall, Lord. This is such a tough assignment. God, I need you, Jesus, to help. If you don't know Jesus tonight, then just come back to Jesus. I would love to pray with you. And tonight I believe that there's certain people here, you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Fresh anointing. Can you make a spirit fill the Holy Ghost? You need to walk and be full of the Holy Spirit constantly. And tonight you need to be refilled. So if the Lord is speaking to you about being filled with His Spirit, then I want you to come forward. Need some facilitators here to just pray with. You need a fresh anointing in the Spirit, because the fear of the Lord is going to be very fearful without the Holy Spirit. So is there anyone like that? You just want to be full afresh again of the Spirit of God. You realize you've grown tired and weary and operating in your own flesh and everything you do. You need a fresh filling of the Spirit of God tonight. I'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone like that? Just show me and just come forward. The Lord is speaking to you. Come. Be filled afresh again with the Spirit. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Come and let's pray with you. Only God can fill you. We can just agree. Do you need to ask and say, Holy Spirit, you're a gift. I want you again in my life. I want to be filled constantly. I want to speak hymns and songs and spiritual songs, but I cannot do this because I'm so full of my flesh. Is there anyone else? Come and join them. Thanks for your response this evening. Just come and be filled with the Spirit this evening. Facilitators, you guys can come. Some leaders, everyone who can pray, just lay hands on these people. I trust God to fill it for everyone tonight. But fresh and filling in them. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you're the same Spirit that Jesus walked by the delight of the fear of the Lord. Without your Spirit, God, we cannot walk this walk. I want you guys to pray with me. Let's all pray together. If you still need to come forward, come. You know, some more facilitators here, please. Just pray with every person. There's a couple of ladies here. And have some more lady facilitators, please. You just tell me the shop to call. Everyone just and pray for people. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. So let's all pray together. Let's say, Father God. Let's all pray together. Father God. I ask for your Spirit. Jesus, come and baptize me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and fill me. Thank you that you're a gift. I receive you right now afresh in my life. Come and fill me up. Thank you now, Lord. Receive you, Spirit of God. You're so holy. Come and fill me up. In Jesus' name. Just pray for some of them. Just pray in the Spirit over them. Every person. Lord, I thank you that you fill every person. If you pray this prayer, honestly, the Spirit is filling you up right now. Some of you just need to just take flesh and get out in Jesus' name. Flesh, there's no place for you. You need to repent of certain stuff. Just let the Spirit come and fill you up. Make room for the Spirit. Just say no to the flesh. The desires of the flesh tonight. Say no. Say no. Say yes, Spirit of God. Come and make me new. Make me clean. Wash me. But you need to repent tonight. If you need to repent of sins, if the Lord is speaking to you about sexual sins specifically, if He's speaking to you about just stuff in your mind where there's so much pride, it's all about me, then repent of that. Lord, sir, before you. I'm a servant, God. I'm a servant. Just speak to God. Speak to the Lord now. You guys be full of the Spirit. I've got confession. If we ask for the Spirit, He will give it to us. The Father's a good Father. He wants to give you blessing of the Spirit. So thank you, Lord, tonight for purification. Thank you for holiness. Spirit of God, make your people holy tonight. They repent of this sin. You need to turn away. You need to choose specifically tonight. If God is hard for this stuff, you need to turn away from the desires of the flesh. Because the Bible says the Spirit and the flesh war against each other. You cannot have Spirit and flesh. More Spirit, less flesh. What's the moment? Because we still walk in the flesh. We still people. We still sin, but less flesh. More Spirit, God. Purify me, sanctify me, Lord. Ask for that. Together. And if you guys could just lead us in a song of worship. While we minister to these people, just If you're doing business with God, do business with the Lord. Otherwise, we'll stretch our hands, pray for people. Pray that God will purify His bride. If you still need prayer, come. Just bring your stuff before the altar tonight. Repent. Be humble before God.